Galatians 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Please be seated.
A lot of times in premarital counseling, I'll include a session. We talk about what maybe you've heard of love languages or love styles, that there are ways that people express affection or ways that they like to receive affection. Some people like to hear the words, or they like to say the words, I love you. That's how they show love. They like to say the words. Some people like to hear the words. You don't say those words anymore. I wish you'd tell me. Others say that, you know, that's not really important to me that I hear the words. I want meaningful actions that demonstrate that I'm loved. If I hear the words, that's great. I mean, I like that. But what I really like is when I'm treated in a way that says to me as clearly as the words, maybe sometimes more meaningful than the words, that I'm loved. The point isn't that, you know, we're going to try to convert the person in the marriage to our way. It's to understand, how can we communicate to her or to him? What is their love language? You know, for some, it's gifts, and that's one I just don't get. Here's what the people that study this say. A lot of times, we're following a script that we learned from our parents. And so there have been people in these settings that she said, listen, this is the way my father communicated to my mother how much he loved her. And it's the way daddy showed me that he loved me, is by the gifts. And I say to that guy, you better learn how to give good gifts. And I'm really thankful that that's not really what Tawny cares about, because I'd be in a lot of trouble. I am really bad at that. I still remember a Christmas where I got my brother. I don't know why. I was a little boy. I shopped for the first time, went down to the five and dime store, and I saw a pair. It was a keychain with big red lips, and it said Hot Lips, and I said, Merry Christmas. That's nearly 40 years ago. He's still mad about that. I found some red lips and cut and paste and sent him a message the other day. He was not happy at all. He's still not over it, you know. But it's a time of year when we are kind of in a giving mood, and I know that our children are really excited about what gifts they might receive, and sometimes disappointed about the gifts that they didn't get. They wanted but didn't get. Tonight what we're going to do, this was an article I read last year at the end of the year. Dennis Lloyd wrote this article, Great Gift Ideas for the Holiday Season. They're all free. You don't have to spend any money. And it's not just for the holidays. These are gifts that you can give every day. And I was trying to think of a scripture. I appreciate Kelly reading from the fruit of the Spirit. Some of these things that you'll see just have to do with our Christian life. The qualities that we possess because of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we ought to demonstrate that in the relationships that we have with other people. Some great gift ideas for the holidays and every day. Number one, the gift of encouragement. It doesn't cost much to give that gift. Mark Twain said he could live for 2 months on one compliment. I think a lot of us understand that. A little boost, something kind, something thoughtful, something that somebody saw in us and they recognized it and they complimented, they encouraged us. That's a great gift. It can kind of change your outlook on life. We need to make it a point to express sincere compliments when we can. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11, Paul said, you know how like a father with his children we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Now, some of us didn't have fathers like this, and it might be hard for us to understand what Paul is talking about because our fathers weren't very encouraging, and some of us had fathers who were, but he's saying, you remember what we were like with you as a father with his children. we exhorted, we encouraged you. Last week, Tommy Flegel, who is a retired first grade teacher, made some positive comment on a post I made on Facebook, and I said, I appreciate how you always say something uplifting. She sent me an email, and she said, I always wrote a positive statement to each one of my students each day. Can you imagine having a teacher like that, who, along with all of the material that she was, you know, responsible for teaching the children each day, she sought to find one positive thing to say to every student in her class every day. Isn't that encouraging? She said sometimes it was harder than others. One day, the best I could do for one boy is you kept your shoes tied all the way till lunch. And then I kind of wonder, what kind of compliment was she giving me? You know, is that what she was trying to tell me? My attaboy was kind of a kept your shoes tied all day. Good job, Tim. I want you to think about the people around you who need the gift of encouragement. And with each one of these, I want you to think about somebody in your life who needs this gift. It might be a coworker that is undervalued on your team. Sometimes, you know, when we work and in our office, we're a team, and some get a lot of credit and a lot of recognition, and others maybe are undervalued. They're vital to the team, but they don't get the same recognition and appreciation. They need some encouragement. Someone who teaches your children here at North MacArthur, they teach Bible class. They come every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night. Some of them pull double duty, and they do Sunday morning and Wednesday night. They work really hard to be a Bible class teacher, and they need some encouragement. You know, with Callie's decision recently to become a Christian, leading up to that, we had some studies together, and I was really impressed with what she knew about the Bible. And I knew that some of those things were not things she learned from me teaching her at home or from my sermons. She learned those things through our children's education program and the teachers here at North MacArthur who have spent a lot of time teaching our children the Bible. We ought to encourage people like that. And sometimes I think we'll have people who respond publicly and they make it known that they're really having a hard time in their life with God. They want to be more than what they are. They want to do better. And when people have the courage to walk in front of a family of Christians like this and ask for help, we ought to give them a gift of encouragement. Write a note, make a phone call, send an email. But try to find some way to encourage. It's a great gift. Number two, the gift of understanding. I don't know if this will connect with you or not, but I just thought I was looking over some of this and adding to it this afternoon. Does anybody remember the DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince? Anybody in here remember Parents Just Don't Understand? Should we close in prayer and I'll make a run for the exit? Some of you have to remember the song, Parents Just... You know, here's the funny thing. Thank you. I'm getting some hands up and some people waving and admitting they know who the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazz... Never mind. I would say to young people, your parents have already been where you are. You think they don't understand, but they've been there. You don't know where they are. I think it's a whole lot harder for children to understand what their parents are going through than for parents to understand what their children are going through. But I thought, nonetheless, as parents, we need to give our children a gift of understanding. When Solomon talks to God about, you know, ask anything you want and I'll give it to you, it's interesting. 1 Kings 3 and verse 9, he asks for an understanding heart. And I have a great kind of tool on my computer where I can touch a word in the text and it'll tell me what it means in the original language. And that word understanding means to hear intelligently, to listen attentively. There are times that children want their parents to do that for them. And parents want their children to understand. There are times that husbands want their wives to understand. Wives want their husbands to understand. We need to give the gift of listening attentively and hearing intelligently, trying to enter into what's going on in the lives of a spouse or our children, and someone else who's close to us, and really try to give them the gift of understanding. There may be people in your life that need that gift. We've mentioned children and spouses and parents. As people struggle with faithfulness to Christ and living up to the standards that Jesus sets forth in the Gospels, sometimes they don't need a lecture or kind of cheap advice. What they really need is somebody who will listen to them and try to understand the difficulty that they're having as they strive to grow as a Christian. And that's a great gift when you have somebody like that who really listens. It's a tremendous gift that you can give to others. The gift of kindness. People are nicer sometimes, not always. I was in a parking lot yesterday, and nobody was very nice in that parking lot yesterday. Have you noticed, you know, it's supposed to be this merry, kind of happy, joyful, and in some ways it is. You talk to complete strangers, open the door for people you don't know, but it can be a stressful time too. As everybody's rushing around trying to get that perfect gift for someone in their family, and the you know, the crowd, traffic's a little, everything's busier, all the stores and restaurants. We need to be kind. And not just this time of year, but at all other times. It's one of the characteristics of Christianity. It's one of the reasons, you know, you think about the fruit of the Spirit, one of that qualities or characteristics. I mean, we ought to be kind. Kindness. Second Peter chapter 1, Paul is talking about, we call them Christian virtues. Add to your, you know, faith, knowledge, faith. You know, brotherly kindness is in that list. Second Peter 1 and verse 7. But love crowns that list. But in the list of Christian virtues, one of the things we're add to our faith and knowledge is kindness, brotherly kindness, 2 Peter 1:7. Paul exhorts us to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. That's Romans 12 and verse 10. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, he says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Who are some of the people in your life that need kindness? Now, I want you to think about people that need this gift. Again, think about people that are overworked and underappreciated. You're going to go to a restaurant with your family over the holidays, and it's packed, and you have to wait, and you're impatient. Why don't you show some kindness to the person who waits on you? You're going to go to the post office. I really don't ever want to go there unless I have to. And it's crowded, and I don't know why. There are four people there, but only one of them's working. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been there? Like, what are all those other people doing back there? There's a line out the door, and I tend to get impatient. That's a good time to give the gift of kindness. Over the top, a little more than normal. Sometimes you're checking out and, you know, or returning something, and things are getting mixed up, and you're frustrated, and I think that's a good time. Think about some of these people and how others have treated them all day long. And everybody's been impatient, but you can come and give them a great gift that kind of changes the direction of the rest of their day. You can give them the gift of kindness. It doesn't cost you that much to be kind to people. Number four, the gift of personal presence. I think this is really important. It is easy. You know, we just had this class on Wednesday night, the best husband ever, where we talked about, you know, the way to be the best husband is to try to love your wife with the love of Jesus Christ. He's the example. And if we can love with the love of Christ, our wives will have a better husband, you know. A lot of the men, and we interviewed them and talked about, you know, some of the challenges or difficulties, and several of them talked about how hard they worked to provide for their families. And they went overtime and you know, just all that they could because they wanted to give their children something that they didn't have, you know, when they were younger. So we're going to work harder and be gone more. And you know what a lot of them said? They said that was a mistake because their children needed something more than what they could give them. What they needed was they needed their mom and dad's presence in their lives. And they were gone too much. They were working too much and they weren't there. And several of them said, if I could do it over again, I wouldn't make that mistake again. Instead of just giving them gifts, they'd get my presence. I'd be there with them. And I think that's something that we need to think about this time of year. There are people that feel lonely and are lonely. James talks about pure and undefiled religion. James 1:27 is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. When Jesus talks about, you know, judgment and, you know, Matthew 25, the right and the left, and come to me, you know, well done, others depart from me. He talks about you, when I was sick or in prison, you visited me. Now, I want you to think about some people who need the gift of your personal presence. Now, clearly, your family. I mean, it's obvious. Your wife, your children, they need your presence. Kind of looked at my kids just to see if it was a look of, a little less of you would be good. I think we're all right, though. I think it's good. There are people who are widows and widowers. This will be the first Christmas without their spouse. You should think about those people. They could use the gift of your personal presence in their lives. There are people who are in a nursing home. You know, their entire lives they were faithful. When they were healthy enough, they'd be sitting right here with us tonight. But they can't do that anymore. They're not healthy enough to do that. And in some cases, nobody ever comes to see them. A great gift that you could give them is your personal presence. There are those that aren't in a nursing home. They're just home. They're shut in. They can't get out. One of the best things that you can do, and it's not just a gift to them. You'll find it's a gift to you as well. I challenge you to do this. And I've never had an experience where we've done this as a family and I thought, well, I wish I'd have stayed home. Go with your whole family. If you've got little kids, take them with you. Go and visit someone who is older, someone who is sick, someone's homebound, they're in the hospital, they're in a nursing home. Sing to them and pray with them and see if they don't take that as a great gift. You know, we went one time and the kids were all a lot younger and we went to the hospital and we were standing all together at the foot of the bed and, you know, we used to have fun. You know, Jesus loves a little. We do, you know, red and yellow, black and white, precious in His sight. And then English, Irish, Dutch and Jew and the little Okies too, and they love that. You know, when your kids are little and they do something like that, everybody thinks that's funny, you know. And we'd pray together. Well, we sang a song or two. And the hospital room across the hall, they started yelling out, "Do you know?" And they'd call them. I thought, I didn't sign on to be, you know, the all-request line here. I just want to sing a little song or two that I knew and that the kids could. But we sang several songs. And you can give somebody that gift of just being with them. Nobody else may come. And they really might be all alone. What a great gift. What a wonderful gift. The gift of gratitude. Cicero said gratitude is not only the greatest virtues, but the parent of all other virtues. Paul, and we just had a sermon on this a couple weeks ago. I know you all remember this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Romans 1, Paul describes the unbelieving Gentile world as being sinful and idolatrous. One of the specific sins he mentioned was that they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. They weren't thankful. Luke 17:11-19, you have the story of the 10 lepers. All are healed, they're cured. Only one comes back. in a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus. He's giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan, and Jesus answered, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Who are some of the people in your life that might need the gift of gratitude? I think about the elders in this congregation. A lot of people don't know what elders do. They may not know the sacrifices that an elder's wife makes. And there should be a gratitude for that. I think about some of the ladies that work here, and they're in the office. They serve as secretaries. Others that clean this building. And you ought to be grateful. If you knew all that these people do in the ways that they serve, and in many cases go above and beyond what's expected. And sometimes just a little gratitude. I think about teachers and coaches. If your kid has a really good teacher or a great coach, the gift of gratitude, just saying thank you, expressing some appreciation for what that person means to your family and to your child, I think is really thoughtful and meaningful, and is a great gift. And think about the people in your life who really deserve the gift of gratitude. The gift of our prayers. We're taught to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. James 5 and verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other. Every year we have an annual staff elder kind of holiday get together, and we were together last night, and my phone kind of little alarm went off, and it was a person that we know in Missouri. We were serving there for 8 years. We got really close with this family, and it was a simple message. Tim, please pray for us. Mom has been diagnosed with cancer. If the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, if your relationship with God, you have this access to the throne of grace, and you can go talk to God and He listens to you. And we know that's right. We know He does. Then one of the great gifts that you can give to the people in your life is the gift of prayer. I don't understand our world at all. It was one of the recent tragedies, and people were all upset about, folks have said, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Well, do something meaningful for people. You know, this thoughts and prayer. Let me tell you praying for somebody who's sick, that's meaningful. When I read Paul's letters, inspired letters by the Apostle Paul, and he says to people, you are in my thoughts, you are in my heart, and you are in my prayers. I think the people that got those letters, I think that was a gift to them. And the great thing about the Apostle Paul, and I don't think many of us do this, but I think we should. I think it would enhance the gift. He didn't just say to people, I'm praying for you. He told them specifically, this is my prayer for you. Who are the people in your life that need the gift of prayer? Listen, I think about some of the young married couples that are just starting their life together. I think about those that have welcomed a newborn. And remember when life, it just changed. Tawny and I just never forget this. I mean, we were living in Mount Vernon. We had to drive to Springfield. We'd see the doctor, and, you know, all the way up until Macy was born. And every visit, he'd say, it's going to change your life. We got so annoyed with that. That kid changed our life. I mean, it just changed everything. And it's hard. It's different now. You're responsible for someone else. I kind of remember walking out of Cox South there in Springfield. He had this little baby carrier, and I kept thinking, these folks are letting us leave. Like, we know what we're doing, you know? I think Connie did, but I was pretty clueless. Pray. Pray for newlyweds. Pray for those that have welcomed a newborn into their family and are adjusting to that change. Pray for our missionaries, as Kelly did tonight. Some of them feel isolated and alone. They're far from their home and from their family. And listen, pray for some of the people that are here on Saturday at our building with recovery issues, and they're struggling to get clean. They let something into their life, and they're having a battle now getting whatever that is. They're trying to get something out of their life that they let into their life, and they want to do that, and they need help. And one of the gifts you can give to those people is make sure they know you're praying for them. You can surely add to that list of those you want to be praying for. That almost every Sunday, there's somebody who's mentioned that's sick, someone who's lost a loved one, and you can give those people the gift of prayer. The gift of our Christian example. Jesus says that we're the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13, the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. Paul instructs us to be blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Your example is a powerful thing. And there are people that need the gift of your good example. I think those that are young in years, the teenagers that are part of the life of this congregation, those who are young in the faith, we have a lot of new Christians. Every year, we're blessed to have a lot of new Christians. They need a good example. I think those who are outside of Christ, and they don't know a lot about the holiness of God or what it means to be a part of a family like this, and they might not know God at all, and their only chance to know Him is the example that they see in your life. Give them a gift of a good example. The gift of our love, the greatest gift ever really is God's love for us. That gift of His Son to die on the cross for our sins, the gift Jesus gave in laying down His own life for us. And He taught us a new command I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And we're told that God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a little challenging and a little more difficult. There are people that hate us and persecute us, and we're supposed to give them the gift of love. There are people that have sinned against us, and they've hurt us, and we're supposed to give them the gift of love. There are people who are lost. They don't even know who Jesus is. They don't know about the God we read about and pray to and sing about and tell others about, and they need the gift of our love. Someone wrote about the cross, and they said the cross reminds us of our relationships. That vertical beam reminds us of the love we have for God and the love He has for us. And the horizontal beam then reminds us of the love we should have for one another. Because He loves us, we ought to love one another. I thought that was a good way of remembering that. And there are people in your life, and you may say, well, they don't deserve my love. That's what makes God's love for us such a great gift. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. But by all accounts, I really should have lost it by now. But He loves me anyway. And there are people in your life that need that kind of relentless love. What a great gift you could give to people who don't deserve it. And finally, the gift of forgiveness. We know that when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said that they should forgive those who sinned against them. In Matthew 6:14-15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. trespasses or your sins. Jesus has never asked any of his disciples to do something that he was unwilling to do. I want you to think about that. He's asking me to forgive people that I don't want to forgive. That's a lot to ask. Did Jesus do that? Well, we know he did. We know the seven things that he said, the sayings of the cross, that one of them in Luke 23 and verse 34 was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." In this article that I mentioned, Dennis Lloyd talked about a teenager who was killed in a car accident. Drunk driver hit his car, and that teenager's parents visited the person responsible for their son's accident and for his death, and they became friends, and they taught him the gospel, and they baptized him. I think we tend to hear stories like that, and it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem possible. How could parents who lost their child befriend the person responsible for that loss, love them enough to teach them the gospel? Now, folks, there are people in your life that you don't like very much, and they've given you a lot of reasons not to like them. They've hurt you, and you can rehearse that over and over again, and the wound seems to get deeper and wider the more you think about it. You've received an amazing gift from God, and He expects you to share that gift with others. We are supposed to forgive others just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And so tonight I want you to think about some of the people in your life that might need that gift of forgiveness from you. What an amazing gift you've received. What an incredible gift you can give. Let me ask you this. If you think about the gift God gave to you, and Paul, you know, says to the Corinthians, end of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "Praise be to God for His indescribable gift." And we think, well, God's given an amazing gift to us. We can't even describe it. What gift could I give to Him in return? It's pretty simple. God's given you the life of His Son. And you can give God a gift tonight. You can give Him the gift of your life. He died for you. Will you live for Him? It's a great gift. We read about those that were great givers because it says that they first gave themselves to the Lord. Have you done that? I remember reading about a custom in an African village where when they took up the collection, they would draw a circle in the dirt, and people would come and get whatever their gifts were. They would come and give their gifts. They'd place them inside that circle. And one young man who didn't have anything else to give just stepped inside the circle. What a great gift. Tonight there are people in this audience who may not have made a commitment to God. You've never given your life to Him. You can do that. You know, I would not suggest that if you're giving gifts that you give other people something you want. Give them what they want. A lot of times when people come to God, they want to give their lives, but they want to do it the way they want to do it. Why not give your life to God in a way that's pleasing to Him? And that's not hard to figure out, because He tells us in His Word that includes a repentance, a turning away from sin and coming back to Him. Confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. If you need to do that tonight, you want to do that tonight. You want to give God the gift of yourself. And you want to give it to Him in a way that will please Him. Why don't you come tonight as we stand and sing?